prepare to meet thy God. And Amos chapter 4 is where we'll be reading from and taking our main portion of scripture for this morning's message. The prophet Isaiah, when King Hezekiah was on his deathbed and was sick, the prophet Isaiah told him to get his house in order. He was about to die. What would we do if we were told to get our house in order? Maybe because of some circumstances that's occurred in our life, but we were told, hey, you'd better get your house in order. What would we do? What would you and I do different if we were told to prepare to meet thy God? Would we do anything different? Would we change anything? Would we change our ways? Maybe would we repent of something that we've done wrong? Would we try to make things right? Or would we just carry on like we did before? Here this morning, I trust that you're living right. I trust that your house is in order. And I trust that there's nothing between you and the Lord. And I trust that you're prepared to meet thy God. If you've never trusted Jesus, though, as your personal Savior, then just let me tell you, you're not prepared to meet the Lord. Amos, here in this short book in the Old Testament, he had just presented Israel with an indictment from the Lord. And then we get to Amos chapter 4 here in verse 12. It says, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. The sins of Israel had come up before a holy and righteous God. Oh, but God in mercy offered them only one way to avoid that dreadful meeting. And there in Amos chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. God pleads with them to turn from their wickedness. If you go on down to verse 14, God says, seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Oh, how the Lord desired to be with them, but they would not heed the warning from Amos. Oh, the Lord, he wants to be your God. Aren't you glad today that God made every preparation? He gave every provision so that you could be made acceptable unto him. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, for Israel, they would have to turn from their sins and turn to God in repentance and faith. And for each person alive today, God wants you to turn in repentance and faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, God sent his servant Amos to tell Israel, prepare to meet thy God. And if they did not repent, then they would face the judgment. For each person alive today, they too have a choice to make. You can die in your sins and face an eternal judgment in hell, or you can turn to God in repentance and faith and be saved today. Oh, the Lord so desired to be with Israel, but Israel would not repent, and they left the Lord no other choice. Look at verse 17. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Turn to Exodus chapter 12. I want you to underline those words there in Amos 5:17. I will pass through thee. I will pass through thee. In the death of the firstborn in Egypt, God did not pass through the Israelites. The Bible says that he passed over them. But now God's telling Israel that there'll be no passing over them. There'll be no passing over their sins. He says, I will pass through thee. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. It says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. They observed the Passover in memory of this event. It was to be a reminder of what God had done for them. Oh, but now, God says, because you won't repent, I'm going to pass through you. Oh, had Israel had any fear of God, if the Passover had meant anything to them, they should have repented, knowing what God could do, but they would not humble themselves. What's sad is that even the priest would not humble themselves. Turn back to Amos and chapter 7. Amos chapter 7 and verse 10. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line. And thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth out of this of his land. Hey, you want to know why America is in the mess it's in today? It's because people who call themselves men of God, oh, servants of the Lord, have not taken the word of God seriously. They've not wholeheartedly followed after the Lord. Hey, they've not worshiped in spirit and in truth. They claim the spirit, hey, but they're not following the truth of God's word. Hey, I promise you, they don't resemble the Amoses of the day. Hey, they're more like Amaziah. They're more like a priest for hire. Matter of fact, they've waged a war against the word of God and against the Amoses of our day. I'm telling you, these contemporary movements are contrary to the word of God. They pump and prime people with the world and with the ways of the world, and then they call it a moving of the Spirit. Hey, their worship is based on feelings and not faith. Oh, independent Baptist churches have removed the word fundamental from their signs so that they can bring the world in and they can call it worship. Oh, but God has the same message for them as he did for Israel, and the same message for the churches there in Revelations who were not right with God. Oh, God did not take kindly Israel's fake worship, and God's not impressed
impressed with those that call themselves independent Baptist churches, but their ways and their music resembles the world. Oh, they've dropped their God-given biblical standards. They've erred from the truth. And God says to them, prepare to meet thy God. Hey, you'd better seek the Lord or face judgment. I promise you, God is not impressed with the Rick Warrens of today. He's not impressed with the Paula Whites and the Joyce Meyers. And he's not impressed with the false prosperity theology. He's not impressed with the Joel Osteens who when asked if Jesus was the only way to heaven, he said, I believe that, but I won't tell anyone else who believes otherwise that they're wrong. He said, I can't judge that person. Only God knows their hearts. Hey, before you pick up too many rocks and throw them at Joel Osteen, hey, Billy Graham said the same thing, almost the same words there on Larry King Live. He said, I used to preach that Jesus was the only way. And if you did not believe in him, then in hell you would die. Then he said this, I just preach on love now. Well, what does God's word say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The mouth speaks. The Bible says in Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amos did not mince his words with Amaziah, and God does not mince his words in the Bible. Hey, listen to what God says in John chapter 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's what God says. And then he says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hey, the word of God is clear. I recently spoke with a man, and he said that he was saved, that he had trusted Jesus as his Savior. But he said he had a friend that was a Muslim. He said, and that really opened his eyes to different beliefs and different cultures. And he said this statement. He said, maybe God has different ways of reaching different cultures. And he can use different religions to bring people to him. Well, I can promise you, I did not give him a Joel or Billy answer. In love, I gave him the word of God. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way of salvation except through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amaziah told Amos to go to Judah with that message. He said, don't bring that message here in Israel anymore. Oh my, how many people are going to receive our gospel mailers, and they're going to look at the truth that's being told them, and they're going to say, that's not for me. Take that message somewhere else. Hey, when we're out visiting, sometimes people will just wave us on, and they say, I don't want that message. Just go on down the road. Take that message somewhere else. Amos told Israel to prepare to meet thy God. Hey, if someone rejects mercy of God, if they reject the grace of God, then all that's left is justice. And the Bible says that you've already been found guilty. There's another statement that broke my heart. That's found in Amos chapter 8. God has pleaded with Israel to forsake its ways, to forsake their sinful lifestyle, to turn to him. And there in chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, and he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Oh, there is an end. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. There is an end. The soul that sinneth, It shall die. In Hebrews 9:27 it says, and as is appointed unto men, once to die, but after this, the judgment, there is an end. There is an end for America. God has given America so much truth. God has given America so much light. God has shed His love across America. Oh, America has received so much of the gospel. Oh, America has been given so much from God. What a sad verse when it says, I will not pass by them anymore. Oh, it was like that basket of summer fruit that was ripe. Their sins had become ripe before the Lord. Now the Lord, He said He'd no longer pass over their sins. He was going to pass through them. He would no longer pass over their offenses and pass by their persons, without taking notice of them. God said, it was enough. Prepare to meet thy God. Hey, I believe that America's sins have become right before the Lord. I believe that the sins of the church have become right before the Lord. Hey, God's been long-suffering. He's been forbearing. But there is an end. Every time we take our gospel mailers to the post office to mail them out, I just wonder, when that home receives that gospel message in their mailbox, I just wonder, is that the end for that home? Every time that we go door to door and we leave a door hanger on someone's door, I wonder if for that home, their sin has become ripe before God. Hey, and this is the last message. Hey, this is the last time that God is passing by them. Oh, when I speak to someone and I give them the gospel, I wonder if that was the last time that God would pass by. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Let me tell you something. This is the severest punishment on this side of eternity when there's no more word from the Lord. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3 says, for the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Hey, the worst thing that can happen to a person on this side of eternity is that they turn their ears from the truth and the Lord leave them to themselves. Let's close with Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. It tells us the end of those people. When God's pleading with you, you'd better answer the call, because there is an end. There is an end. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 29, it says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, there's the end. Shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices? For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Israel refused to hearken unto the Lord. They said, take that message somewhere else. And God said, prepare to meet thy God. Oh, but I thank God that in Proverbs chapter 1, hey, it don't end in judgment. There is still hope. It ends with a message of hope in verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Hey, if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, hey, then please hearken unto the Lord. Please don't wait till it's too late. Please don't turn from the truth. Hey, the worst thing that can happen to a person is that the Lord sent a famine of His Word in your life and He leaves you to yourself. If God's dealing with your heart, then please don't refuse
His precious Son. God may never pass your way again. If you refuse Jesus as your Savior, this may be the beginning of a famine of God's Word in your life. Why won't you be saved today? Hey, while Jesus is passing by, would you please accept Him today?